Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vestaya Bhakti Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Oh, Hare Krishna, thank you. Too. Thank you so much. Thank you. Hare Krishna, would you be so kind to maybe move a little bit more forward, because I see devotees coming in and wondering where to sit. Just a little. My dear devotees, I have entitled this with a message to my disciples. With this title, I meant I would talk a little personal to you. Personal means from my own experience. When I lecture, I need to make sure that I always represent as close as it is natural for me. Srila Prabhupada style. What I mean with natural is I won't be able to gesture like him or speak the English in the same way he speaks the English. And there are certain other things which where he speaks as a realized soul. But my duty is to repeat what Srila Prabhupada says, because then only the system of Guru Parampara or the Sampradaya is intact. I think you understand when someone does service, the Guru service, let's call it, like this, he needs to make sure that he does it correctly. Today I read a statement of Prabhupada where he spoke in Hamburg requesting all of his disciples to become guru, and then he said you should not add anything and not subtract anything from the message. You should talk it as it is, and in this way it is not a mystery what it means to be guru. In this way the guru is more like a messenger or a postman, as Prabhupada has often said, who brings a message intact as it is to others. So that is most of the time my attempt to deliver knowledge like this. And I will today be a little bit more personal, where I put more of my personal experience in. But as we are, as devotees, we don't create something absolutely new. We want to make sure that it is not going on parallel lines with the Shastras and what we have understood from Srila Prabhupada. So, but it's a little bit more, you will hear. You know, over the years I have watched a phenomena, I have seen this in my own life, and I have seen it in the lives of devotees. In my own life, for instance, I have gone now by Krishna's mercy every year to Vrindavan to perform my personal sadhana of just chanting Krishna's holy name for the whole day and reading a little bit about his personality and this way addressing my kirtan, my japa to Krishna really consciously, making chanting in sambandha, you could say, with a deep connection. And whenever I came back from Vrindavan, or when I remembered, even when I left Vrindavan, I felt really absolutely surcharged, absolutely sure about Radha and Krishna's presence in my own personal life, and really inspired. I think in modern English you would say I could float over the ground. Then when I came to Delhi, it was a little different. Delhi airport even more different. And then coming back to mostly the cold season, yes, always the cold season, and seeing also the consciousness of the devotees with whom I interact, you know, I saw, well, there's a huge difference in what is my consciousness in Vrindavan, or what's the consciousness in Vrindavan, and what the devotees experience here. And then I saw in my own life that, I mean, it's not so bad. Preaching went absolutely in the foreground of my attention. And all these more, let us say, ideas or thoughts which were just in relation to my relationship to Radha and Krishna, they were still there, and I could always go there, but I was now very busy with my schedule, with my next seminars, with my different book writing projects, my Vedic Way, etc., etc. Good things, but I was wearing thin. What I've also seen again and again, I think you know, I give retreats, holy name retreats, and many times devotees, they say to me during or at the end of the retreat, Maharaj, you changed my life. And I often get feedbacks that I came to one of your retreats, also seminars where, you know, a few days devotees or people are with me and they're hearing and participating in the kirtan and so on. They say, this changed my life. And then I ask them always, I hope you didn't change back. What do you mean? Well, and then I tell them, I say, so often devotees describe this to me, that it happened after festivals, everything was clear. And then as they left the festival, everything went back to normal after some time. Do you know what I'm speaking about?
Yes.
We have, in academic language, an epiphany. That's a highlight. You know, we experience an incredible amount of clarity, for us incredible. We are really inspired. We are maybe also, we think, oh, sense gratification is no problem any longer. I mean, I'm beyond this. I can control my mind and my senses very easily. Only not with pizza, but that's all right. You know, otherwise I have no. And then the reality just sometimes comes to them like a hit on the solar plexus. And they feel again pulled back into the normal life. There have been studies on this in the field of psychology. It's about resolutions. People who come to this state of consciousness, they often do make resolutions. I will, from today on, I will do this, I will do that, I will do that. Especially in the new year, you know, or it's in the night when the old year turns into the new year. In Germany, at least, amongst cultured families, they all sit down and make their New Year's resolutions, where they try to improve themselves and become better. So I received a little while ago, 2 years ago to be very precise, a letter from a disciple, and he said, he addressed this point very nicely. He said, I have attended the Sangha Mela and I made my New Year's resolutions. I wanted to offer each day to Krishna. I want to use my body, mind, and words only for Krishna. I wanted to have Sangha. But already in the midst of January, all my, mostly my resolutions fell to the side. According to statistics, it's 60% in the midst. You lose 60% after 15 days. And they have measured this. And then you are up to 80% in the first week of February, where you've lost everything. So it's, in other words, it's a universal problem. It does not only relate to us in the Krishna conscious movement, that we come to an insight and we want to be better, we want to live a more fulfilled life, get out of bed at least at so and such time. You know, I can't allow myself to sleep, to continue to sleep at up till 9 o'clock. I mean, this is too much. I will go up to 7 o'clock, or someone who is already at 7 o'clock. Ah, now it's 5:30 for me. Or someone who is with 5:30 will go, I need to do a little bit more in my reading. I will go up to 4, get out of. My dear devotees, the human being is notoriously bad in resisting temptations. We are, as human beings, unless we are born as yogis like Ram Govinda, we are not so good to have a high goal and then control our mind and senses in order to reach it. Because we have a tendency to value the pleasures which the present moment can give me more than the promised successes that wait in some future. Maybe you know this. You come home after being very active the whole day, and then there is some immediate pleasure, let us call it to eat a big meal or to watch something interesting on internet or to read a novel or something. And this is immediately pleasure giving for you, but you do know, on the long run, it is not so good for my spiritual life. But we have the tendency to choose pleasure over long-term result. This is human. There is a verse dedicated to this in the Vedic scriptures. I can't tell you the place it comes from, but it is often quoted. You might recognize it also. It is the wise person chooses always shreyas, that's long-term benefit, you know, what you reach when you control your senses over a long amount of time. The wise person can choose Shreyas over prayers. That's the immediate good which you have when you eat a satisfying meal. My dear devotees, I have to deal a lot with fall down. Where devotees tell me, Maharaji, I had a fall down. And they describe what happened to them. I say, please, no details, but just the idea. Then I can maybe help you and say something. And they say, I was in this situation. I knew what is best in the long term. But the pulling was so strong at that moment that I couldn't resist the temptation. And I then had a fall down. And they are very sad about it. It's not that they are happy about themselves. It's not that they are proud. It's not that they feel, wow, this was a major breakthrough for me. No, they feel this was a major failure in my spiritual life. And they suffer because they are very good people. But they just were not strong at that moment to say no. My dear devotees, they were human beings. And once again, the tendency for a human being is to value immediate pleasure which come in the present to the promised successes in the future. Probably by now you have visited several lectures in our movement and you have heard about the marshmallow test. It's a marshmallow test. Marshmallow, do I say it properly? It's a sweet, a certain sweet. So what is the marshmallow test, the sweet test? Well, Mr. Professor Michels took a group of children and he said to them, I give you now this sweet, but if you can wait for 15 minutes and not eat the sweet, if you can resist temptation, then after 15 minutes you will get two sweets, not one sweet. Get it?
Yes.
So there were children who said, no, I want to eat immediately. And they ate the one marshmallow, this is a sweet. And there were other children who said, okay, I can wait 50 minutes. It was from the same age group, by the way. That's important for our research. They waited. Not yet. And after 50 minutes, they got an extra marshmallow. So, Professor Michels visited with his team the children about 15 years later or 20 years later, I do not know, when they were grown up. And he wanted to know if the character which they had shown in young age of being either not able to resist immediate pleasure or being able to resist immediate pleasure had something to do with their private lives, relationships, exercises, health, the lifestyle, and professional lives. And what he found out, my dear devotees, is that those children who could resist temptation, who could resist the pulling of the immediate pleasure, did much better in their private and professional life later on. And from this, he has deducted a theory which I want to kill today. His theory, kill is not the word, how do you say it? Put on the side. No? Refute, yes. The theory which you have heard in many lectures in our movement is, if you can just control your mind and your senses, you will be victorious in attaining the kingdom of God. You will be victorious in your Krishna consciousness. Have you heard this philosophy? No, yes, middle. Maybe you are also convinced of this philosophy. I think you are, because who of us would not value self-control? We all know we have a lower self, right? And a higher self, and if we follow the lower self, we go somewhere. Huh? Do we know this? No? My dear devotees, for those who have willpower, who can keep up their resolutions, this is very good. Very good. Let them do this. And let everyone who has a little willpower exercise it. There is benefit in this. However, if it is a struggle for you, to do this, then eventually you might lose. Because if you exercise all your willpower against something, you will experience how eventually your willpower wanes or goes down. Willpower is a subtle muscle power. We all know this muscle power. You know, arm muscle. Willpower is a muscle of the mind. And you cannot live your life with always on maximum. Where I live, in the Gora Bhavan, I have a, please help me, it's a bar, pull-up bar. I got it as a present from Tushita Krishna, I'm very convinced. Leg muscles are good from dancing, but arm muscles are not used. And they are degenerating the arm muscles. So I have a pull-up bar. I couldn't do a pull-up because no muscles were there. But Tushita Krishna said, no problem, you just jump up and you hold yourself and then you go very slowly down. And I followed him. And then you develop muscles. But I know if I'm supposed to hang there, I can do it 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. And if Gaur Krishna is next to me and says, you can do it. Maybe 3 minutes and 10 seconds. But then the muscle power gets exhausted. Because I'm doing something which is very hard. The same is true if you fight with your mind against doing certain things. After some time, you will be exhausted and you will go down. Because you're using your mind to fight against your mind. You can't win. The mind is more powerful. In the Bhagavatam, it's called his power is godlike. The mind has so much power. It carries us to our next body. So It's the strongest thing which we have. So self-control is so important. We are hearing follow four regulative principles in the initiation. That was one of the subjects. I don't know if you noticed it, and so on. But I think if I'm weak to control the senses, Krishna must have given another more effective tool than mind and sense control. If I'm supposed to reach him, and he wants me to reach him, I think he has given me very effective tools for this. But if my spiritual life is a struggle from morning till evening and throughout all the sleeping and waking moments, and I feel miserable, something is very wrong with my spiritual life, because I have not researched, are there other tools than using my weak muscle, my willpower. To be very clear, if you say from after Nityananda appearance day, I will read more, 1 hour a day, I will exercise more. Yes, I know, I'm so fat, I can't see myself any longer in the mirror. I will chant more, of course. I will wake up earlier. Oh, yes, Nityananda's appearance day was there. But if that is a miserable struggle for you, you will lose it. You will not be able to do it. Because we are weak. We are not very, very strong. I feel the Gita gives us a tool which is much more effective. And the Bhagavatam gives us another tool which is even more effective. Can I tell you the tool?
Yes.
Are you interested in this?
Yes.
Why? Want to use it? Good, good, good. Let's make some music here. Vishaya vinivatan te niraharasya dehina rasavajam rasopyasya param drishtva nivatan te. Though, this is Krishna speaking, though the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, the taste for such enjoyments remain. But when he experiences a higher taste, he easily stops such engagements, you know, sense gratification, and remains also fixed in consciousness. So here we hear higher than sense control, what works more is if you have a higher taste. I heard something in the distant past. You know, I had a disciple who would work in death row. Do you know what that is? It's the people who are condemned to die on the electric chair. And, you know, the government, it's an American government, it was in Florida, they thought, let's try to make the life bearable for these people, and amongst other things they got some psychological advice, some you know, a psychologist who would talk to them when they would freak out. What would you think if you say, oh, two more days? And then you would panic, no? Most properly. I mean, now you may say, no, I would chant, but I have seen you in small challenges. How much when life overwhelms us. So this disciple, very nice devotee, was a mataji. I was afraid. I was saying, I'm so afraid with you. You go to these people and the high security tract, and you say, don't worry, I have always a guard with me. So she worked with another person together who told of an experiment he did. He said he had 10 of these people. You know, these people must have killed someone or 10 or 20. They were really heavy gangsters. And he said, I would, guys, that's how you speak to criminals, and to, in America, you speak to everyone like this. But guys, yes, we want to make an experiment here. Imagine the most beautiful woman comes into prison, the woman of your dreams, and she puts all her cloth down, everything, so one guy said, interesting. And then she walks through our assembly. You know you're not supposed to look, it's not your wife. And I am your counselor, I forbid you to look. What would you do? And they all said, the human body is also there. We are men. We have no experience since 10 years where we would look. Okay, guys. I would tell you, give you a written document with a stamp by the government on it, that if you don't look, you will get out of prison, you will get a key for an apartment house in Hawaii, and you would be pardoned from all your crimes. What would you do? Oh, these are different circumstances. All of them said, we would not look. We would, if necessary, we would pull our head down. We would not look. No. It would not happen to us. Because we would get something much more rewarding by controlling. I mean, they didn't speak this language, but you by not looking. So this is what every human being knows. When you have a higher taste, you don't need to be a devotee. This is my point. You need to be just a normal functioning human being. If you get a higher taste, you can stop other engagements which are full of temptation. I'm very, very sorry to use such an example, but I found it because it's an example from real life. It's not a constructed example. I found it amazing that this is how it worked. And he conducted I don't know if he could conduct the experiment because that would require the stamp of the government, and I don't know if they would. But they were very sure. I think all of us, this was an example for the male body. You can translate that in the female body, you know, just exchange the genders. I don't know what, you know, let's not stick with this example. I just use it to make a very strong point for tired audience. When you get a higher reward, and you know it's coming, and you know you're experiencing already something of it. You can say at the moment when you have to decide between your lower self, very easily, without mind control or sense control, it happens very, very easily. The only question is, how do I get this higher taste, please? I'm trying to get it since so many years, but I have not yet gotten it. And for this, I would like to talk of the Bhagavata, but let me see. From the spiritual perspective, Sadhu Sangha is the key, because Sadhu Sangha is seen as the birthplace of bhakti. You get the taste of bhakti, which is a divine energy. And let us make no mistake, not by your own willpower can you cross the dangerous material world. Daivi Hesha Gunamayi, you heard this? It's impossible for a conditioned soul to conquer the Daivi Hesha, the material energy, with on his own. But by being together with people who are inspired and inspiring, and who also support you. No, they don't just talk to you, they support you. Then you can become empowered and move on with a different type of strength than your own willpower, spiritual strength. Prabhupada once was asked, how can I become a good chanter and resist the temptation to put the bebek aside? I'm putting this to it. And he asked with the question, how do you become a drunkard? But I don't know. I have never thought about this, no. When I heard Prabhupada's question the first time, what does this have to do, please, with the question? How to increase taste for chanting? Prabhupada said, how do you become a drunkard? Even Prabhupada would ask such type of questions. I mean, we knew what is the taste of alcohol, most of us. Prabhupada disciples have knowledge. I think some of you have no knowledge about what is the taste. But I have knowledge. How do I become a drunkard? No idea, Prabhupada. I was never a drunkard, nor did I wish to become one. Then Prabhupada gave the answer. You have to associate with other drunkards. Then you become a drunkard yourself. Very practical. So he wanted to talk about a principle. If you associate with people who have what you do not have, but what you want to get, then this comes into you at eventually, after some time. Such association will encourage you naturally and spontaneously and engage you in spiritual activities. And you will do this not because you have the power, or because you are very strong, or because you think, I should do this. No, you do this because you want to do it and you have the strength to do it. The strength by associating with first-class devotees. What is the main way to associate with devotees? It happens through the ear, not on the football field. I know everything. There's nothing wrong in playing with devotees. In fact, it's good. It's community building and it's strength building. But the main item of getting spiritual strength is happening when you associate with devotees through the ear. and listen to devotees, and so on. That that will install in you the most powerful strengths which we have, that is desires, good desires. I promised you that I would not just talk for my own feelings or my own insights. I would give a praman, a proof from the Bhagavatam. In the second canto, we hear about the spiritual warrior who can cut his own bondage to the world. It's in, let me see, where is the text? 1:15. Yad anudyasina, asina means word, yad anudyasina yukta karma granti nibandhanam. Nibandhanam means strong bondage, and granti means a knot. So this verse says, with a sword in the hand, intelligent persons cut through the knots, hard knots of bondage by remembering the personality of Godhead. Therefore, we will not pay attention to his message. My answer is almost everyone will not pay attention to his message. And the Bhagavatam knows this. It's an enlightened scripture, but it is highly realistic. They say, yes, we know that no one has attachment to listen to Krishna. Then from where does this ruchi means taste, come? And in the next verse it says, yes, it comes by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice. Then great service is done. By such service, one gains an affinity. The Sanskrit word is ruchi, or taste, for hearing the message of Krishna. Let me summarize. Not by our own strengths, if we have weak strengths, can we become successful. Yes, we will give our best. There is benefit in controlling the mind and the senses. But you have to get higher strengths, and then it will happen. I will tell you this morning, somehow in the night I did not rest very well. I had confused dreams, and I got up a few times. And when I woke up, I was really tired, and I was thinking, when is it over? Then I thought, hey, wait a minute, you are supposed to be one of the persons to make a nice festival. You should not think when it's over. You should do something now to repair your mistaken consciousness. I felt like that, but I said, oh, I'm thinking of this is not wrong. This is not right. Why did this devotee not come? Does he hate me now? And you know, all these mental thoughts. And then I thought, bus, enough of this. You want to spend time with the people you like most. You want to spend time with your disciples. You want that this is a nice festival for them. You have to now repair your consciousness, Mr. Swamiji. Okay, yes, I see your point. But how do I stop all the... How do I get high-energy thoughts, Krishna-conscious thoughts? Then I thought, well, I can't do it on my own. This will be my message to the disciples. So what can I do? Then I thought, well, yesterday we read all these quotations about Lord Nityananda. Let me pray to Lord Nityananda. And let me say Lord Nityananda's name. It always says Nityananda, we should say Nitai, Nitai, and you know, and then Lord Chaitanya will be merciful to us, etc. We are telling this in the lecture. It must be true because it's in the scriptures. So I, on the way to the bathroom, I just went, normally I try to sing the Hare Krishna mantra and learn new melodies. Here I chanted Nityananda Ram, Nityananda Ram, Nityananda Ram. Then I looked into the mirror and thought, miserable old man. Then I thought, no, I'm chanting Nityananda's name, Nityananda Ram. Then I became extremely enthusiastic. I brushed my teeth in the rhythm of the kirtan, jumped under the shower, and became highly inspired. And so on. And I think it is because of the holy names of the Lord. My dear devotees, if you want to chant, you have to first of all become real. And the reality I'm speaking of is you can't do it on your own. You need the divine blessings. You need divine strength. And that is what I would like you all to take with you from this festival. I know your life is not easy always. I know you have sometimes to face your own karmic reactions which have not left you. I know that you are sometimes thinking, I would love to have a little bit more strength in my spiritual life. Where will you look for it? My sincere recommendation is learn to have good association. It's not an association where you just have friendship and you talk about rockets and new recordings and so on. It's with Krishna in the center. And from it, you will learn to access all these things which give you higher taste. I want to give you another message. Find out in your life what gives you spiritual taste. There must be something, otherwise Krishna would not be fair. If he would not give all of us, his lost children, the tools which we require to go forward. Often we look at the wrong places and therefore we don't get it. We might have to broaden our horizon. But then we will find those things in bhakti where we can access, contact the bhakti shakti which gives us a higher taste. I know it is true. I know it is true. I know it is true. Why? Yeah, because I'm still happy in Krishna consciousness. I'm not particularly very much different than all of. Of course, I have a different fingerprint like everyone has. But I mean to say my situation is not very different from your situation. You also have been looking for spiritual life in previous lives, many of you, I know. You also are blessed people, but you will have to learn that how to access higher strengths, higher energy than your willpower, mental power and sensual power and so on, than what the mind and the body gives. And I do hope this festival has given you a few hints, a few ideas, a few very good things. Ah, finished! Is the message clear? Nitai-chan. Not difficult, isn't it? We can understand. Yes. What do you think? Ram Govinda. You have to get accustomed to say Ram Govinda. Better we try each day. And you should, please, go with Ram Govinda. There is an extra Govinda. Sri Ram is good. There's already Ram, but extra Govinda is there. It's better. It's more benefit. So here is Okan, the philosopher from Turkey. No, Okan is a very has a very nice group in Ankara, Turkey. He is translating, he's preaching in Turkey. You can also speak Turkish, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Good.
And I have a question.
Yes.
Generally, I receive from the new devotees. They say, I also recommend them to say in English, find the higher taste or the people who have this higher taste.
Yes.
And they say that, yes, I know to whom I should contact, but they don't
live in Ankara.
No, I mean, why they should be interested in me, okay? I have something that I need to get something from them, but I have nothing to give. Then I recommend them, please try to serve them somehow, so that they can get also benediction. Is it correct, or what they should do?
You will see the mentality of higher people is different than ordinary people. You should tell them. They are by nature compassionate. I saw this with Srila Prabhupada. He was visiting in Germany in 1974. And one godbrother of mine had the service to bring people who wanted to meet him to him. Let me say like this. He contacted high class people, you know, priests, aristocrats, like this. The Prabhupada would be interested to who would be on a level. But somehow or other, there was no one. For one day, there was no one there. Prabhupada asked, is there anyone? And we said, Prabhupada, there is a man from Turkey. Now, the Turkish people in Germany are usually Gastarbeiter. You know what that is? Gastarbeiter, it means they come for some time to work, make money, more money they can do in the country, send it, and then go back. They are workers, guest workers, they are called in German language. And they usually don't come from they have not studied much, they're just simple people. So Prabhupada, there is one man from Turkey, he's a simple man, bring him. And then I don't know how this man came to. It came in the castle. Our temple was in the castle. And Prabhupada spent 3 hours with him. I was not in the room, but later my godbrother came out and said, "I can't believe Prabhupada. He's talking about family, sons, cars, and all the things which these type of people, the workers, are interested in." He seems to have all the time in the world for him. He's so busy, he has to lead a whole movement and make decisions. But no, he preaches. Compassionate, Vaishnavas who are high class, they are compassionate. They want to help others. Of course, they also have to divide their times. When there are 100 people, they can't speak to every one of the 100 people, you know. But in general, that is their mood. And so even if we don't have to offer something to them, the good Vaishnavas take interest in us. If we have a mood where we can receive it, that's all they care. Can he learn? Does he want to learn? Does he have a question? Does he, and so on. If he's arrogant or if he comes with the wrong motives, you know, to just spend time and then post a photo on the internet, I was with this famous person, and then they are not inclined. But they are compassionate. Yes, and you said, it was interesting for us. Prabhupada would see, he stayed 2 weeks with us, that was very long in Germany, and he would see And then there were, of course, on normal days, there were much more people than could be seen. And then Prabhupada needed to make a selection. And do you know what was his criterion to select whom he would see or whom he would not see? He always asked us, has he done some service or has she done some service? So, because if someone has done service, then they are more likely to understand. That's also what this verse says. One should serve those devotees. No? So your answer is correct. But you know, another way to listen to devotees is you don't always need to listen one on one. You can listen to recordings. Of course, it's nice to meet also, if possible. But recordings are, I have become a computer fan. Yes, but it's a small computer. It has only one function. It's a little noise box. It makes noise, and you can put a stick in it, a memory stick, I think it's called, or whatever, and then it has all the lectures of Prabhupada on a little memory stick. It's a super machine. Krishna. The Bhagavatam says we should learn to have association with devotees. It's a spiritual association which we have to learn. What we have to learn is to engage spiritually. Any other devotee or any other question? Jai Gopal, Jai Gopal, Jai Gopal, Jai Gopal.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
I have a question which I'm carrying with me since the Sangha Mela.
Last Sangha Mela?
Yeah, this year. Where you spoke about, well, in your presentation, it was all about prayer, the mood we should have in prayer, where we have a very humble approach, or we also had these songs like Amara Jivana Sada Papara, where you really look into yourself and you see your position to really call out for Krishna's mercy. And you mentioned that mood is really for the spiritual level, and on the other side we have on a more material level where it's not about, let's say, it's not about having a low self-esteem, it's really about being humble in front of the Lord, and on a material level to live healthy in the mind. We also see it in self-development also, or developing good businesses. It's all about the positive mindset, having faith in your abilities and that you can control. I also believe Prabhupada gave some hints there. One principle of ISKCON is think big. He also said impossible is in the Fool's Dictionary, or when he was on the bench before he established his movement, he said to this guy next to him, I have many temples, many followers, just the time separates us from them. And
that would be envisioning your goal. Yes, yeah.
So this very humble state of mind and a healthy mindset of like I'm able to do something, it somehow almost contradicts itself. Or where is the connection between the two?
There is one key to the answer in the Bhagavatam where Prabhupada says one should be very frank and open with Krishna. And you will find it under frank and open if you Google it. I will answer your question from this perspective. Sometimes in the name of humility, you can cheat yourself because you're not humble, and you can cheat Krishna. Therefore, the prayer which comes before all other prayers is let the real I pray. You know, you want to come to a point where you are Did you find it, Radhikaranjan? You're looking at something?
Yeah? I'm trying to.
Still trying, good. In spiritual life, I think we have to boil our huge concepts which we carry down to something that is real, that is there, and go like this to Krishna, and Krishna will accept us. Krishna is the savior of the fallen, Patita Pavana. He's not the savior of the Kapata Pavana, the cheaters or the pretenders. It's an interesting thing, no? Krishna is known as Patita Pavana, not Kapata. Kapata means cheating, Pavana. You found it?
It's in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya.
Let me see if that is.
Right at the top.
Yeah, frank and open.
It's also in Bhagavad.
I saw. Do you know where it is in Bhagavad? This is also a nice quote, and please keep it for me.
It's 421.33.
What? Yeah, that sounds. Let us see. This makes a slightly different point than I wish to make.
It's in the purple.
Yeah. Purple. Oh, what do I have to do now? Scroll it up. It's worthwhile waiting. Oh. Would you care to come here, Buddha Bhavana, because you seem to have found it? Ah, here, I saw. Yeah. Just your presence. Yeah, yes, it's the Buddha Bhavana. Here it is. Anyone can become successful in devotional service, provided he displays no duplicity. It is explained here that one must be very frank and open-minded, amayina, to be situated in a lower status of life is not a disqualification. Ha! Huh? Go here, Jai Gopal. To be situated in a lower status of life is not a disqualification for success in devotional service. The only qualification is that whether one is a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, he must be open, frank, and free from reservations. Then by performing his devotional service, and so on, he gets the mercy of Krishna. Buddha Bhavana, can you be so kind to write this on a piece of paper, just the 438, whatever it is, yes? Yeah, I need to take it with me in my room, then I look at, read the whole thing, and yeah. So, yes, what's the number of the verse, Buddha Bhavana?
21.33.
Fourth
canto, chapter 21,
text
number 33.
Yeah. Oh, I think, Radhikaranjan, you have a piece of paper maybe free for me. You can write it down and give it to me. But without any mistake. Frank, open, be yourself. Even if you're struggling, acknowledge that there is struggle. Don't think you are a great person if you are a small person. Say, I'm small, Krishna, I'm struggling, but I really want to come to you. Please help me. And then he helps. Frank and openness means sometimes to face your own lowliness. And that's the hardest thing for the conditioned soul to do. The hardest thing to be real. Yes. especially Gauranga and Nityananda, God Krishna and Jai Krishna, they only want to see a tear in your eye. It should be a real tear, not pepperoni tear, you know, or chili tear. Where you think, I give up, I want you very, very urgently, but I'm very not well equipped. Now you're watching me, and I'm watching you. Let the real I pray. And let me address the real you. Let it be real. It's not easy to be real. It's not easy. You have to a little bit work on yourself by coming to the very essence of you. It takes a little time. You know, Jai Gopal, when I understood that with my own mental strengths, with my little abilities in clairvoyance, with my little abilities in this and that, I can most probably not reach Krishna. Then I needed a paradigm shift. What to do now? I want to proceed. I want to move on. What do I do now? I need to know where I can charge my electric mobile telephone. That is my heart. No? Need to find places where I can charge up and get some other strengths. And that makes you very humble. It makes you human. It makes you, and it doesn't stop your eagerness. It increases your eagerness. But it took years for me to come. I first of all saw, I'm now so long in Krishna consciousness, I should be now in ecstasy and pure heart, but I'm not. So what did I do wrong? And I also discovered, that's why I believe in the holy name, that in the age where we live, there is a particular process. Krishna has come in a particular form to us. It's the holy name. And I decided I have to find out how it works for me. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Your question is coming?
I was wondering, I think we were planning question answer for tomorrow.
Oh, question, sorry. Yes. Thank you, Gorari. I also, yes, we are over time. I'm sorry. Thank you very much for listening. We have more question and answer. It's good if you prepare yourself a little. No? Not that only the young devotees asked how many beads are there on a japamala, so on. I would like to say one thing and introduce one devotee to you. Bhakti Gamya, you're here somewhere? Please come. So Bhakti Gamya, with a team of other devotees, has done something really very, very nice. She went through various articles and either did or arranged for transcripts of lectures on the guru-disciple relationship. The transcript means it's a little bit edited, not for content, but for readability and so on. And we want to make this book available to you. And Bhakti Gamya will explain to us how you will be able to access it. You please stand up that we can all see you.
I just want to give Brenda a really quick message. Sorry.
Yeah, as you want.
Hare Krishna, everyone. So it's wonderful to be addressing everyone. I didn't really expect it. It just started off as a really small and quite personal project, and I spoke to Brenda about it, and she was such a sort of powerhouse behind the project. But basically, a few of us in London, so we just transcribed like all the classes on the guru and disciple relationship, and we've been having disciple meetings in London. We've been going through these lectures, and it's really helped us as a collective. And then we kind of thought, why not put it into a format where we can share it with the whole God family, and everyone can get benefit from these lectures. So there are two main ways that we've shared the lectures. So one is in the format of an ebook or a PDF. So that'll be sent to everyone. I think we're trying to show the book on the screen. And then at the end of the PDF booklet, it's got like summaries of all the lectures Guru Maharaj has given on the Guru and Disciple relationship, and it's got the main points. So that's one format. And then the second format is also this is Vrinda's amazing idea, and she got help from very humble devotees who don't want to be named actually. But so that's the PDF booklet. So it's everything in Guru Maharaj's own words, all the lectures he's given on the Guru and Disciple relationship. And what we've done is we've just separated each lecture into sections, so it's easier for you to read through. It's easier for you to, if you've only got time to read a small section, you can read a small section. So it's all the lectures, I think it's 26 lectures in total. And also, I think if you click on one of the sections, then it will go straight to that part. In the document as well. Oh, okay. So this is a Word document, but it does that in a PDF. And also, right at the end, as I mentioned, there's an appendix with just summaries of each of these lectures, like in a paragraph format. So you can just really get the essential point that Guru Maharaj is making. And to be honest, these lectures are completely phenomenal. It really helps me, because like after initiation, I was I realised I needed to make some endeavour to deepen this relationship, and I was kind of in a really superficial place, and I really just didn't understand, and I felt like I really didn't understand like how special and significant this relationship is. So that's how I just started to transcribe these, and I mentioned to Brinda, and Brinda was super excited, enthusiastic, and we got help from other devotees. So I've just been actually really, blown away by the enthusiasm of different devotees in the UK. So for tasters, just so you get an idea of what's in there. So Guru Maharaj has spoken about how to keep the guru and disciple relationship strong. So different points on that. He's also spoken about what is the glue of the guru. So what helps to bind the guru and the disciple, and when we lose sight of that glue or that collective vision, then that's how the distance develops between the guru and the disciple. He's also written about how the guru and disciple relationship, how it develops over time as well, and how as one gains maturity from listening and really hearing and taking to heart the instructions of the spiritual master, how we can become, the friendly element comes into the guru-disciple relationship, but how the guru always stays as the authority. There's an element of friendliness. And also how the guru trains his disciples, and also how we can react to when we get strong chastisement as well. So I really felt that reading through these lectures really helped me to come off sort of this mental, speculative idea of what guru-disciple relationship is, and really to try and hear it from Guru Maharaj's own words. So this is, as I mentioned, this is the PDF, or this is the Word document format. And so this will be basically, it'll be emailed to everyone who's on the Disciples network. So that's the email list that we have for the Disciples. And if you're not on that network, but you want access to this PDF, then what you can do is you can send an email message to Vrinda. So you can wave, please. Stand up and wave. I'm sure everyone knows Vrinda. She's always, like, in the data department, she's always a good looker down. She's just so much service. But so if you can just approach her, if you're not on the Disciples Network, and what you have to do is you have to get her email address, and then you have to send her a message, and so she can email the book to you. And then the second way to access the teachings is actually via a website, which I only found out about this morning, actually. This is Brenda's idea. So basically, the way that this website works is actually, it's like a blog, it's a series of blog posts. So the PDF that you saw, which is separated into small sections, each section will be posted as blogs, so that... Should I speak louder, or am I in the way?
Oh, sorry, it's a good one. Oh, sorry.
This is the whole point, sorry. Each small section of the lectures will be on this website. It'll be accessible as blog posts, and also the blog posts will also be tagged. So there's a search, option as well. So if we type in, say, service, so we want to find out all the blog posts do a service, you type into the search engine, and it's a different blog post will come up. And also on this website will be sound bites or nectar drops. So basically, each class where Guru Maharaj has a really strong emphasis on some aspects of the guru and disciple relationship. So we'll actually record those sections and we'll list them as sound bites so you can access. At the moment it says Sachi Sutabruza Kirtan, so that's probably going to take that off. But it's pretty cool. No, it's not really relevant. Not really, so we'll change that. It will be sound bites for Guru Maharaj's, the main points from the lecture. This website will actually be personalised. So what happens is when you go to the landing page, you'll have to basically make a profile. But it's only one time, so you don't have to do it every time you access the website. And what it means is that you can actually save your favourite blog posts if you want. And also, at the end of each blog post, you can actually comment. And so you can actually start a discussion with disciples or other devotees about that particular blog post, that particular aspect or that teaching that you've just read. This is available for everyone. Everything's going to go live, or the website will go live at the end of this month, and the PDF document, we're going to finalise that by the end of this month, so you'll get information about that if you're already on the Disciples Network. And if you're not, then please do send an email to Vrinda, and she will take you further on how to get access to the site. But all in all, to be honest, we have to say a huge thank you to the devotees who've been involved in helping in this project in London. So thank you, Vrinda. And Vrinda organised for proofreaders as well, which is just amazing. And also, the biggest thank you really is to Guru Maharaj, because we've taken all his content and just rearranged it after we've done. And one meditation we've had while doing this project is like how we give our thanks to the Ganga is, you know, we take water from the Ganga and we offer it back to the Ganga. So what we're really doing is just taking Guru Maharaj's own words and just trying to share with everyone. So thank you so much.
Wonderful. You are a natural presenter also. Buddha Bhavana Shakti has empowered you. Thank you so much. So that's a new book coming. I really want to do, when they have gone through all, anyways, I want to surprise you. Surprises should be not announced.